Sunday night, Chavis Halvavas Shir, Lady Shir, Shavavodas Alokim, and we're towards the end of Perek Vav. We should finish Perek Vav today. What did he say? He gave a whole speech about Hakaras HaTov and about how you have to increase your avoda based on how you feel that Hashpoas HaTovah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the nefesh said, you know, I can't do that because it's a treadmill and I can never catch up because, he says, here's my problem. When I thank Hashem and I serve Hashem by that acknowledgement, so I'm always eyeing, I'm not sincere. I'm doing it because I'm hoping, I'm assuming, I'm praying that it continues. I'm not really thanking him for the past. I'm thinking about the future, and I'm expecting schar. I'm being Ovid Elokim. So he can't win. Like, what am I supposed to do? So he said, he analyzes the problem. Page, yes, oh, I don't know. So I'm thinking about the future. I'm really using it as a gateway to serve myself. Omar HaSeichel, Masha Hisra'amto. So what you're upset about, Mimiut Kavanoscha Ba'avodoscha Vodoscha Lelokecha, that you're not really serving Hashem with your Hakaras HaTov, with your avoda, because you're doing it to gain something for yourself. You're talking the talk, but you're not thinking. You're not sincere. You want something. What's in your mind is to you want the good to keep coming. This is a tremendous madrega he's on. He's like really flying with the malachim now. We're happy if we thank Hashem, if he gives us good things, but the nefesh is not happy. The nefesh knows that it's self-interest. It's motivated by self-interest. At the end of the day, self-interest is not serving Hashem. It's serving oneself. And so let's try to overcome that. And he says how? So he says, you have three problems. Your first problem is that you want to be comfortable. You're self-interest, right? You're motivated that the arrow's going this way. Everything you do, you're the center of your universe. It's very hard to make Hashem the center of our universe. We try and, you know, we have the... And really, Hashem wants to help us, but we don't take advantage. We have the mezuzah. Right, and a man has tzitzis, and that's really supposed to always... So he says, that's your first problem. Okay, your first problem is your ego, but, you know, we don't see it as so bad. That's the truth. We see a sense of self. But he's saying, everything is directed, what will make me happy, what will make me satisfied, what will make me feel fulfilled. See, even when, and this is already the good people. We're talking on a high madrega. The point isn't that you should feel fulfilled. That's not really the point. Hashem made a world, and see, this is what's so hard, because we do find fulfillment. That experience shows that a person has a neshama. So a person's sense of tranquility and self-fulfillment ironically does come from serving Hashem. I say ironically because at the same time you're trying to balance that you're not serving yourself, and that's not your motive and that's not your purpose. And you're aware of it, but the seichel is telling the nefesh, the reason you feel so frustrated and you feel like you're caught in this trap where you can't really serve Hashem because you're really serving yourself. it's because you're caught in that warp, in that mode of that everything you do is directed for yourself, and you have to break out of your self-interest. That's number one. Number two, he said, is you have to realize Hashem's chesed is so overwhelming and so all-encompassing and so powerful that you think that Hashem's responding to your requests for his help. Hashem was there for you before you were aware of your own existence, before you were aware of Hashem, before you davened to Hashem. So, you know, it's almost foolish to say that, oh, I don't know how I'm going to break out of this mold, because I'm always thinking that I should do this so that Hashem gives me what I need. You know, relax. Hashem's giving you what you need, and Hashem is showering you with chesed and with love. You know, it's not because you're asking for it. It's not you're not causing Hashem to do this. Hashem did it before, so you should realize the overwhelming hashpah of his chesed, and that should break you free of your feeling compelled to have in mind always that you're doing it for the purpose of gaining Hashem's, you know, of having Hashem respond favorably to you. That's number two. And number three is your third problem is that you're always focused on what you don't have. So you're always thinking about what you don't have. So that's why you're caught in this warp where even when you praise Hashem and even when you serve him, you're really doing it out of self-interest, because you want to get to the next level. You want a bigger house, but sometimes a person needs a bigger house. I don't want anybody to think there's anything wrong with a bigger house. You want a bigger house, you want another car, you want another toy, another plaything. So, because you're focused on what you don't have, so you're not really appreciative enough of what you do have. So that's your problem. So that's why you think you have a problem. So your problem comes, he analyzes the problem, that it comes because of three emotional weaknesses. Or number one, is your self-centeredness. Number two is you taked don chap Hashem's chesed, Hashem's love for you. So you think, I'm doing this because I'm doing this to ask Hashem for things. Hashem gives. Hashem loves you. I mean, think of a parent and a child. That is really what Hashem put in this world, to have some glimpse, some feeling of his love and care and concern for us. What a parent exhibits to a child. And number three is you're focused on what you don't have. That's your problem. And you wouldn't have this problem if you would just be thankful and appreciative totally for what you have, and you wouldn't just right away then just go on to the next level. Okay, what don't I have yet? So that was number three. V'amida ha'shlishi, she'en chol makeris ha'satzmcho b'lo'in ha'nagoscho, v'at roa osoch ru'uyu l'gedola she'b'chol ha'tovos, the most, v'ena posekes m'ladake sholson, as soon as you reach one level, machshavtach ola l'mashalamala mimenu, what can I have more? But you don't think of serving him more. When we serve Hashem, we think we're doing him a favor. We're taking challah, you know, we're doing Hashem a favor. He means in a very deep sense, we're doing Hashem a favor. Like, he wants me to do it, I'll do it. You know, I'll do him a favor. But really, we don't do it out of a sense of being innerly compelled to do it. We want to do it. V'yimidiyoscho mechasorcho elob v'sheinu tzorech loch. V'ilu hayus megala asichla zuzos miolech. If you would expose this This is like the subconscious. He's, you know, nobody walks around thinking the way the Chavetz Chaim describes, but it's built in. It's built into our subconscious, and we live this way. He says, "The ta'ani be'ein pikucha, wake up and see." V'yisiyodas ki abori Hashem baroach choshev alayich. Hashem is thinking about you. V'yodeya betov lach, and He knows what's best for you. V'mesh eina tov yosem imecha, and what's not good for you. Hayisrosim mistapekes v'mesh yiguch mehem. Then you would be happy with what you have, and you would be so utterly thankful. You would realize that what you have is perfect. When you realize that what you have is perfect, you would just burst forth into Haldo'a, and you wouldn't start worrying, oh, I only mean it so Hashem should give me more. Because He's going to continue doing what He was doing till now, which is give and love and care and give you what you need and the perfect amount what you need and what you need and how you need it, and everything is perfectly shaped and timed. And then you would just burst forth in Hodah, B'leif Sholem, B'loi Yistola, Tekvosech, and you wouldn't worry, B'meshi Yitridech, Mihakoros Masha Higia, Lecho Mehen, Uprochol V'Salakim Aleihen, Hashem owes me, I owe him, Mashat Ruyolo, Yevshe Shloi Tagi Yelov, Kshay Yitzchayov Loch Ba'avodosoch, Lo Shetakavi also, B'tlos Taitoch Bo. Okay, let's move on to the next parak. But you asked me a specific question, which I'd like to answer. Give me a minimum derech of avoda that I could... We said, this is the irony of ironies, the whole point of Ha'orah Sichlis is that it comes from the heart, and it comes from... I was talking today to a music person because of Shabbos Shira. I wanted to ask him some questions, not my mechutin, rather. So I was asking him to explain to me a little, like he makes up arrangements. You know, it always sounds good at the end. You're listening to the tape. You know, but like, how do you think, like, a trumpet should come in here, and a drums here, and a violin here? Like, how do, like, what's the chokhmah there? Can you give me a little understanding? I know, like, you know, you studied this for years, but just like, where does it come from? Like, oh, like that line would sound very good if there would be a drum background. Like, how do you do that? And if you listen to these tapes, you know, if you have a good recorder and a good CD, you really hear there's so much going on. That's all background. It's all background. But it like makes the song knack many times. Sometimes it doesn't work. But many times it makes the song, you know, and you find yourself humming it and snapping, you know, drumming with your hands or with your feet, like it works, and it's a tremendous chachma. I think it's Ayesha. So he said it comes from inside of him. He said he can't explain it. It comes from inside of him. That's what he said. It comes out from his he didn't say essence. He says it comes from inside. He doesn't think, sit down and explain what he does. It just flows naturally. So that's the irony here, is that we want our avodas Hashem. The whole point of this whole shar, you know, we're repeating it like over and over and over and over and over, is we want to serve Hashem, you know. And we will therefore burst through the limitations of the Ora Toronis, which is an amazing statement, right? It's someone wrote me an email, very good question. Like, I'm always like shocked that anybody's actually listening to the shirim. Someone asked me a very good question, very, very good question. I think we raised it here, that the Chavetz Chaim does not seem to view mitzvahs in a Kabbalistic sense, that this is like perfect and this is like manifestations of godliness and the Bria, he seems to take a much more pragmatic approach because he wants us to go beyond the mitzvahs and serve Hashem with Ha'ara Sichlis, to extrapolate from the mitzvahs to lessons the mitzvahs are teaching us. So he says why the mitzvahs are necessary, but he makes very clear that the mitzvahs are a stepping stone to a greater Avodas Hashem if we learn the lessons they're teaching us. So the person asked me, because Api Kabbalah, the mitzvahs are really like, there's nothing better than a mitzvah. Like Hashem chose this to be the vehicle of expressing or exhibiting this closeness to Hashem, this feeling. So it must be the perfect way. And it's like, I believe Hashem gave me two eyes and that's perfect, and the eye in the back of the head would not have been as good. It wouldn't be perfect. If it was perfect, then we would have an eye in the back of our head. We'd have the windshield wiper, right? Windshield wiper in the back. And two ears and two, and, you know, everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. We believe that. We believe that. I have your husband working on the appendix there. He's working on it, right? But we believe everything's perfect. So the mitzvahs are also perfect. They're the perfect vehicle. So I answered him. I said two answers. Three answers, actually. Not two.
So what was the question?
The question is, the Chavis HaLodah seems to talk, does not talk about mitzvahs the way, let's say, he didn't express it this way, the way the Tanya talks about mitzvahs, like, this is it. This is elokus. This is perfection. He says, you know, okay, the mitzvahs are okay, you know, in a pinch, but you want to use them as stepping stones for more. You want to break free of their, you know, they're confined to a certain time and a certain date and a certain group of people, and you really want to go beyond that. So there's really two answers. I mean, we spoke about them both here. One is, first of all, the Chazal just isn't dealing with that level. Because that level, people don't relate to that level. Because that doesn't tell me what to do with my life. It doesn't teach me anything. I can't do anything with the fact that eating matzah within a four-hour window does all sorts of things in the spiritual worlds that the Nefesh HaChayim, let's say, describes, or the Tanya describes, and it's like the whole world, the whole universe, or the, you know, with the millions and millions and billions of malachim are being sustained with, like, my eating matzah, so to speak, right? In these 3 hours, 4 hours within. He doesn't talk about that. He's talking about how a person should relate. A person doesn't relate to that. I don't know. It's hard. Chazal ignores it because that's not what's going to get me out of bed in the morning. That's one answer I gave him. The Chazal is dealing as a pragmatic. The mitzvahs are pragmatic. They tell me to think of Hashem, remember Hashem, thank Hashem, do for Hashem, to be good people, you know, the machavero. It's very pragmatic. And then we extrapolate. Let's say we say, okay, so I'm supposed to eat matzah. It means I'm supposed to remember that Hashem took Sedem Mitzrayim, but I can do that every day. And I can remember all these that we learned for a long time, the qualities of the Ara Sichlis. So that's one answer. The Enochanami, he was aware of it. He's not arguing with it, but they don't get me out of bed in the morning. And he's talking as a pragmatic. How do I relate to mitzvahs? How do I relate to Hashem? It's not going to do anything for me if the Olamos HaElyonim are being sustained by. Maybe. Okay, that's one answer, though. Another answer is that Adarab, was sort of the same answer, but from a different angle. It's true. In other words, there's three levels. The Chavis HaLodah only deals with two. There's one level of doing the mitzvahs with all their rules and roboticness, perhaps, and ritual. You know, you're listening to Hashem and you're doing it. Then you go above that. The staka step above that, which is to relate to and to realize that the best vehicle. In other words, I have 613 mitzvahs to do, so to speak. And, like, how am I going to juggle them all? If I just, you know, I'll do my harasichlis, you know, but it's very hard to juggle. And it's like, really, really hard to keep a balance and not to go off into, you know, into one area and neglect others. And so the Torah really is perfect, but you have to, it's like a third level, not the first. If you start off, you do the ritual, you graduate and you live with the Ora Sichlis, and you realize what the mitzvahs, the moral lessons the mitzvahs are teaching you. Even the chukim are teaching you a moral lesson, making you a better person, making you closer to Hashem. And that's not limited to time or space. It's not limited to Shabbos. Shabbos is not limited to Shabbos. The malachas are, that's the ritual. But the lessons of Shabbos, that Hashem made the world and Hashem is the creator of all, and that's not limited to Shabbos. I can walk in the street on a Monday afternoon and think those thoughts when I watch the flowers, right? I could be Shabbosic in that sense. And that's what the Chazal wants you to do. But then, you know, you do that, and you could do that for decades, let's say. And then, so, but then, like, oh my, like, so you go back to the mitzvahs, and you say, you know what? Everything has its time and place. Shabbos is Shabbos, and this is this, and I'm going to... Meanwhile, I'm taking challah, and I have a mezuzah, and I'm wearing tzitzis, and I'm doing b'nodom l'chaveiro. Like, the Torah's mix... It's true, the Torah's mix is the perfect mix. But you have to... You'll never get to the point where you'll realize the depth of closeness you can reach Hashem through doing mitzvahs, unless you've gone to his arasichlis. So it's like davening, you know. You start off davening, let's say we know what the words mean. That's maybe a leap, but let's assume it, right? I don't want to embarrass myself. Let's say we know what the words mean. So you start off, you daven like a child, you know what the words mean. Then you start studying davening, and you learn Tehillim maybe, and you learn Malbim, or Abar Benel, or even Rashi. And you start seeing the meaning of the Tillim, and you know, and then when you say a pasuk, like you have to stop, and you, let's say you would want to stop, it's going to take you 6-7 hours to daven, but you want to stop and you want to think what this pasuk means, because you learned so much about this pasuk, and there's so much wealth of spirituality in this pasuk, and that's just that pasuk, and then the next pasuk. And the ideas of Psukkot Zimra and Yishtabach and Bechos Kriyashma and Kriyashma and Shmona Esrei, like, you know, your head's exploding. You know, so you got to go through that. But then what are you going to do? You have to turn it around and come back and put it in, back into the davening, into the words that David HaMelech says. And you just, you know, I don't know, it's like, what's the closest thing? It's like, see, it's like you read a novel. So you read a novel and you enjoy the story, right? Then you read about it and you read about the conflicts and you read about the protagonist and the... What is it? Antagonist, yeah, that's the word. Protagonist, antagonist, and the conflict and the emotions and the and all the angst that they're undergoing. And right, you, like you read about the book, you know, like, I don't know, they used to sign it in school, like... No, that's the kitzer of the story. I'm talking about like discussions about the books. But then all of a sudden the book became like 5 times the size that it is. So what you want to do, if you, like a smart person will take all that he learned or she learned, and then you read the book again. And then, like, you see it all there, and all of a sudden you have a... You go, wow, I didn't realize how good the author was, because I just read it as a story. And now I see how, like, let's say it's done really well. So you see, like it was a Shakespeare. Like, each sentence has a wealth of... has a wealth in it, like there's no extra word there, like everything is. And the truth is, the Torah Shebiksav, a man has that experience. Please forgive me. When you learn Torah Shebiksav, then Torah Shebaal Peh, and then you come back and you look at the pasuk, and like, whoa, like it's a different pasuk, but it's still the words of the pasuk. So I told him, Chavis Halavus, like, wants to free, unfetter your mind and your soul. But the truth is, the Tanya's right. After you're finished with your Yehara Sichlis, and then you're still stuck. Like, how do I balance everything? How do I find the balance between all these things? I have to be thinking about Hashem created the world, and He took us out of Mitzrayim, and He's Kol Yochol, and I owe Him so much, and history. And so you say, oh, I got the Eitzah. We have Shabbos for this, and Davening for this, and Hefresh Haschalah for this, and Binyan Machaveiro teaches me this. And then you gain a new appreciation for the Torah. You say, wow, Hashem like juggled the whole gamut of human emotion and spirituality and creativity and potential, and He crammed it into 613 mitzvahs. Like, each one expresses so much, but you never would have known that if you wouldn't have done Ha'ara Sichlis. You would just be back treating it like the ritual. So I said, that was what I answered him. I was just like blown away that he listens to this year. And he actually like asked a question. That was a good question, very good question. Okay, anyway, but here we're stuck with a nefesh. So ironically, we're stuck with a nefesh that's saying, it's like such a funny sentence. Like, give me a list of things I should do for Ha'ara Sichlis, which is, because it's supposed to flow, but he can't. But he can't because he always feels inadequate. He feels not up to the task. And the Chavis and the Seichel really slammed into him, and gave him. It's like you go to a shrink, you know. And she says, "This is what's wrong with you. A, B, C." Like, you're sorry you went. the Seichel told the Nefesh, "This is what's wrong with you. You're self-centered. You have no. You're not aware of the magnitude of Hashem's Chesed." That's number two. You have the wrong idea. You think Hashem is responding to you. Hashem is giving you. Hashem is giving. The mother doesn't wait. Sometimes the baby has to cry, but the mother doesn't wait for the baby to cry till she feeds him. Right? She's always on top of things. Right? Maybe my baby needs to eat now. And that's until you have five of them. Yeah. At five, you wait for them to cry already, okay. Because we're not Hashem. See, Hashem doesn't matter. We have five, we're like, okay, you know. When he cries, I'll take care of him. When the diaper is like actually dripping, okay. And the third thing is that you think you're being Makir Tov, and you're worried that your Hakaras HaTov will turn into a plea for more. It's only because you're dissatisfied. You're not Sameach Bechelko. It's a chisaron. You want more. You're not satisfied with what you have. So you're not fully appreciative of what you have. When you're not satisfied, you're not fully appreciative. Because what have you done for me lately? So he banged into him. But he accepts the inadequacy of the seichel, of the nefesh, and now he's going to address the nefesh's request. And I think it's like really funny. Give me a list of things that shouldn't be on a list. So tell me the minimum. What can I do? So he tells him, Perek Zayin, Umasha Sha'alta al Hamiuta, on the minimum. Sheba'avodos v'alokim, She'enadom yotzi yidei chavos v'pachos mimeno, V'tischayev lo bo hasmodos tovoso olov, Hey masora in yonim. Okay, here's your list of 10 tafkidim, 10 tasks. Okay, Hashem showered you with tova. We're talking about how to deal with Hashem's beneficence. Okay, number one. Shelo yisimeno siba lahamroso. Don't take your wealth and do averus with it. Now this covers a lot, because this already covers don't take your hands and do averus. Don't take the gifts that Hashem gave you, which includes your intelligence and your abilities and your creativity, all these gifts that are from Hashem, don't use it against Hashem. That's like Aleph Beis. That's the story with Nehemiah, right? He took him on a trip, and the guy goes and buys. So you used my trip against me. So that's number one. Don't make it into a siba lahamroso. This is Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivot. This is Korach. This happens very, very often. It happens every time, really, we do any Aveira, because we're using the gifts that Hashem gave us. But that's already like on a very subtle Madrega that we have to be on, that Hashem was the one that gave me the ability to move my hand, and here I am moving my hand to hit someone. As a marshal. But that's like Prost. He means even the wealth. Hashem gave me wealth, so I have to use it. I shouldn't use it as a reason to neglect my spiritual side. By Yishman Yeshur and Vayivat. That's also using the good for the bad. That's number one. Number two. Sheyazker Tovas Elokim B'Lashono Tomid. Don't be ashamed. Maybe you could do it by davening if you have kavana to thank Hashem with your mouth, to say it. Don't think it. To say it and to mean it. To think it by you mean what you said. But he says, thank you, Hashem, whether you say it with those words. In private, you say, thank you, Hashem, you gave me a house, you gave me this, you gave me that. You can go make a list. So, thank Hashem. Praise Hashem, thank Hashem. That's number two. Number three is be appreciative. Don't just thank him and pay lip service. And then that's the trap he talked about before. That you want more. Oh, but I don't have this yet. Number three, umayhem. Don't diss what Hashem gave you. Don't negate it. Don't degrade it. Don't make it seem small. Okay, so far these are lessons in gratitude. Lessons in gratitude that go beyond the mitzvahs. So he says, you want the minimum because you can't handle more? Fine. Number one is realize it's Hashem gave it to you, so you're not going to turn around, and when you realize that, you're not going to turn around and use it to be mamre's piv. Number two is get into the habit of thanking Hashem. He's giving you, thank him. Number three is be appreciative. Don't minimize what is done for you. Don't say, yeah, it's pretty good, but you know, it's not that good. It could have been better. No, it couldn't have been better. Not for you. Not for your neshama. Not for you. So that's number three. Umehem shlo yitle bezulaso emtia al yedei emtsoi. If you got your riches because someone gave you a stock tip or your boss gave you a raise, so don't think. Don't fall into a trap now and say, okay, Hashem gave me my pay salary, but my boss gave me the raise. You know, let's put it in a way that everybody laughs, but we tend to do this because what Hashem gives us, we take for granted. And then when we get the extra, so we say, oh, the extra's coming because I worked more, because I was charitz, so I got a bonus. And that's not true. So make sure you assign everything to Hashem. That's number four. Sheyodah and Soy the Yisalami Hodos Habori Oleo. Okay, well, let's just do number five, please, and so we'll have how many are there altogether? There's 10, so we'll do 5. Shelo yispor bo viyala hal daito ki b'kocho lokho v'chochmoso v'meshu roila. That's good old kochi v'otsum yodi. Don't fall into that trap. So, okay, so again, he's teaching him a chorus hatov that's going to make him into an Oved Hashem by making him an appreciative person, a person that thanks Hashem, praises Hashem. This is the avodah Hashem wants. Acknowledgement and appreciation and gratitude. He doesn't want it for his sake. He doesn't need it. But he wants it for our sake. This is what makes a mensch a mensch, and this is how he bonds with Hashem. So, number one, like, don't use it against Hashem. Like, that's for sure. You know. Thank Hashem with your mouth. Say it. Thank, and mean it. Don't be unappreciative. Don't attribute it to the person that seemed to be the one giving it to you. And don't think you are the one that gave it to you. And it's because of your merits, your charitzos, your everything that you got it. That's Kochi Vaisum Yodi, classically. Okay.